SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell has taken over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell, coast to coast.
It's pain-free Friday. Pharrell stolen a minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up. 100, 200, the bad, say the broken day, the bad, I vote with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, shadoopy, along with the Tater and Tutty King himself. Carver High this afternoon. Mafia running it along with Luke. I am your father. The rundown on this C to C on a Friday. Marencia double shot from Vancouver. And in this hour, it's me, Gino B. Gino Bacola from Daily Racing Form out in Lipstick City. Then in the second hour, Coach Terry Bowden joins us to break down college football. Plus, Dr. Zhivago, Dr. David Chow of SICScore.com, Sports Injury Central, out in SoCali, Cal. Well, we saw it last night, didn't we? The Bombers advance to the ALCS. For the second time in 3 years. The last time they were there, they got swept by the Astros. But they'll host game one on Monday night on River Ave in the Boogie Down Bronx at Yankee Stadium against the winner of Saturday's Detroit-Cleveland game at Cleveland. Now a 108 start from what I'm seeing on Saturday. But Garrett Cole, just like Carver High thought, would get it done. What a performance. He gave up one run. And then the bullpen went to work. Holmes and the Dreamweaver closing the door. Over 15 and two-thirds of scoreless work by the bullpen in the division series. A hell of a performance by the Yankees. They started right out with Gleyber Day, a double. Soto, next pitch, boom, single, RBI, and they were out 1-0. They built it up after that. They win it 3-1. Tonight in Chavez Ravine, Carver High, we got a dandy, a game five with the Friar faithful going against the Dodgers in Lipstick City.
We certainly do. Happy Friday here on C2C, a pain-free Friday as we get ready for a very big weekend. I mean, there is a lot going on here. Some heavy action that we're going to have. Yes, Yankees move on. And really, a bunch of the guys who have been questioned for years are the ones who came through, really, for them, right? I mean, Stanton, Cole, Torres had a good series. Judge did nothing, and they still won the series, which is something that I think is good for them going forward. You'd like to think he's going to bust out against whoever they play in the AL. He did have, you saw some signs. He hit that double off the wall. They walked him then the time after that. So maybe he gets a little something going when they start the ALCS on Monday night, game number one at home in the Bronx. But a great performance from Cole. That's why you pay him the big bucks. Thought up 2-1 he'd be able to do it, and sure enough. But I think the biggest surprise to me, as you mentioned, is the bullpen. Because if there was something that I would have thought would be a question mark for this team in the playoffs, something that would bite them in the playoffs, what was the joke we made? You know what? You're gonna see playoff games end with Holmes on the mound. You're going to see all the... That has not happened. Holmes is more comfortable pitching in the seventh and eighth inning. Weaver's been unbelievable. Even Canely gets some big outs. All he's got. Suddenly, the Yankee pen is what's driving them, along with a great start from Garrett Cole. And I'm looking forward to see that continue when they get to the next round on Monday. And you mentioned the time change. That game five was supposed to be tomorrow night. Apparently, there's some bad weather that is going to hit the Cleveland area tomorrow night, and that is why Major League Baseball, for once in their lives, is getting ahead of the problem, and they're going to play that game at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Coincidentally, it's also now away from the Ohio State game, because they were going to be up against each other. That would have been a rough night in the Cincinnati, Cleveland and Columbus area in the state of Ohio, but now you get Guardians in the day and Ohio State at night. So that was the reason for the time change.
Well, it's going to be a great college football game out in Eugene at Outson. And I think, frankly, more people in Ohio care about the Buckeyes than they do Cleveland Guardians. I mean, that's just all there is to it. The one thing I always learned, like, in Columbus, the Blue Jackets are second fiddle to the Buckeyes. That's just all there is to it.
I agree with you, actually. I think it helps baseball, too, that game's not at the same time, because it's not like Ohio State's playing, Purdue or Northwestern. You know, they're playing Oregon. It's the biggest game of the weekend is this Ohio State-Oregon game under the lights in Eugene, so we're looking forward to that. So we've got all the baseball. Friar faithful tonight in Chavez Ravine against the Dodgers. We will get you all set up there as well. Sounds like it's going to be Yamamoto, but I would guess it doesn't matter. Roberts is going to throw like he did the other night, probably a bunch of relievers at the Padres. He's going to stick with the strategy that won him game number four and throw several arms out there to try to get him home. It just comes down to, can they shut down the Padre bats? That's what it is. I think Darvish will pitch well tonight, Scotty. I do. He pitched well the first game in this series, and I think Darvish will pitch well again tonight.
And Yamamoto did not pitch well.
Yeah. Did not pitch well, and that's why I think that he will have a very quick hook tonight if he is the starter. I know that it's, you know, Roberts hasn't really made his mind up yet, and there's things floating around, but we shall see. I don't think it makes much of a difference as far as it goes, because he's going to pitch all those guys out of the pen either way. So all the baseball for the weekend, we will get you set up. Winner of that game tonight will play the Mets on Sunday night, 8 o'clock East, game one. Out west, whoever it is. Mets are traveling to California no matter what for Sunday night for a game number one, whoever the opponent is going to be.
Yes. I watched the Yankees. I didn't watch that Niner game. I was on the Yankees. Like, I was so locked into that game that I wanted no part of anything else.
Yankee game ended. I think that they were starting the fourth quarter of the Niner game when the Yankee game ended. And really at the start of the fourth quarter, the game was turning a little bit. You know, Seattle had that kickoff return that got it to, it seemed like they were making a little bit of a comeback in the game. It was probably a little bit more sweaty than it needed to be for the Niners. But at the end of the day, Niners cover.
Yeah, they covered, there you go. And you hit all Niners the prop cover bets. So what did I care? I'm watching the celly with champagne and beer and guys dancing around doing interviews. That was more appealing to me. I hate those teams. I don't care about those two football teams.
Rare sweeping the board for the touchdowns last night. I always love when you sweep the board. Debo first touchdown, Kittle and Lockett, 3 for 3 on the
C2C. And the cover of the spread.
And the cover of the spread.
The under didn't happen. It went over.
Under didn't happen. Under didn't happen, but that's okay.
4 or 5 bets. Screw it.
The touchdowns meant a lot more to me than the actual game, with which, especially that 9-1. With Debo for the first. So we were feeling pretty good about that. We'll go to all the games this weekend. Heavy hitter club this week. The Steelers, of course, are going to be in Vegas. Cowboys and the Lions in Dallas. Giants are playing Sunday night against Cincinnati. We've got all the games we'll go through. We got a London game with the Jags and the Bears. We have all these enormous college games, not just Oregon, Ohio State, but we've got Texas, Oklahoma, of course, at the Cotton Bowl. LSU and Ole Miss, Florida, Tennessee, Penn State's going west to USC. Just a very thick weekend here.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I got to ask you, do you think the Bengals go to 1-5 and the G-men trip them up at Snoopy?
From what I've seen of the Bengals this year so far, it would not surprise me if the Giants beat them on Sunday night. Don't know if I have the stones yet to go out the whole way. I still got some time till Sunday night, but it would not stun me if the G-men beat them in that game. Would not.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see that. I really would. Like, that would be a nice capper to the weekend. Like, football all day tomorrow, and then all day Sunday, and then Sunday night, watch that, seal the deal for the weekend. I mean, and then we're back here Monday on C2C with a Bills-Jets Monday nighter. I mean, honestly, Bills? It's like Saturday, Sunday, Monday's delicious.
Bills, Jets, Monday night. Yankees game one Monday night. So you get both of those Monday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Every night at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, along all of our outlets, TV stations, streaming networks, radio stations, Sirius XM, Channel 159, you catch Morenci on Coast to Coast, a double shot every day from Vancouver. And he's all fired up for the Dodgers and the Friars tonight at Chavez Ravine. Allegedly Yamamoto against Darvish. And you were on the Dodgers to get it done yesterday. Anything changed? And you said that they've gone to the Mamba approach.
Yeah, they have. They've got some Kobe quotes up on the wall in the clubhouse. Job's not done. Trying to dig into that Kobe Bryant spirit. It is Yamamoto going to be starting tonight for the Los Angeles Dodgers. There was a lot of question marks, you know, whether it was going to be Flaherty, whether it'd be Yamamoto. Let's be real. It's an elimination game to go to the championship series. It's going to be an all hands on deck. Who's ever available will pitch, and they'll worry if they advance about Sunday. On Sunday, and when it comes down to it, man, it's amazing, isn't it? The impact, number one, that Japanese baseball has right now on Major League Baseball. Yu Darvish versus Yamamoto versus Ohtani. And Ohtani's favorite player is Yu Darvish. Like, that was his guy growing up, Yu Darvish. So he faces his idol. You know, Yamamoto's been hit by San Diego, man. This, you know what it reminds me a lot of, Scott? It reminds me of the game the other night when San Diego threw Dylan Cease out there. And it was like, yeah, Dylan Cease is really good, but the Dodgers hit him, right? They're locked in on him. And they were once again. They just ripped him apart two times in a row. And, you know, a lot of teams haven't seen Yamamoto, but Yamamoto's first game in Major League Baseball was in the Seoul Series in Korea, was right. Against San Diego. They lit him up. Put it this way, he's pitched against San Diego three times this year. He's never given up less than three runs, Scott, against them. So, you know, of all the teams, you know what I mean? If he was facing a team like the Mets or a team, you know what I mean, a team that, you know, the Brewers that don't see him, they've seen him three times already. They know his stuff. So, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, that's the thing, Scott. I was thinking Flaherty. My deal, listen, Dave Roberts pushed all the right buttons. He doesn't make the decisions either. I mean, this is an organizational move. You know, we all get that. But I would have started Flaherty, Scott, but he got hit too and then went to Yamamoto. But you know what it comes down to, bro? They paid Yamamoto $325 million, right? This is the reason why they paid him. I mean, yeah, he got hurt. This is it. He's got another crack at this. So it's Darvish versus Yamamoto. This game's going to be decided in the first couple of innings, Scott. Who's going to hit the home run first? Who's going to put the couple of runs up first and get to the pitcher?
We've already seen it.
We've already seen
the Padres jack him in the first inning.
But Darvish is vulnerable to early home runs in games as well. Darvish's numbers against the Dodgers are good. There's not a lot of Dodger players that have a good track record against Darvish. And, for you know, a lot of them haven't seen him that much, ironically enough. You know, the Dodgers are hitting like 0.95 against him. So there's definitely, I would say, pitching advantage sort of San Diego tonight. But we don't know. I mean, Yu Darvish, he's 5-5 in his career against the Dodgers, Scott. All right? He's 5-5. Yamamoto's a freaking stud who's pitched in the World Baseball Classic. He was the MVP of the Japanese League. He's pitched in the championship there. He's pitched in big games. We'll see if he can dig down deep and get it done tonight. But I got to tell you, bro, the clock, you know, you and I are the same. There's not enough hours in the day. Time goes by quickly. Like, I want to punch people in the face anytime somebody tells me they're bored. Life is too short to be bored. But, man, 5 o'clock Pacific can't get here soon enough, Scott. It's just dragging today, bro. I just want to do this thing.
It's just awful. It's just awful.
You know that feeling all day? You're like, just come on, man.
It's awful. Like, look, do you think that any game that he's ever pitched is bigger than this one? I don't. I think this game's the biggest game of Yamamoto's life.
It is. It is the biggest game. It's the biggest game of everyone's life, really. It's almost, you know what I mean? I know everyone's played in big games. Some of these guys have won championships before. But, yeah, this is as big as it gets. You know, I don't think it's a pressure situation for him. I think it's just more of a he's not 100%. And it is what it is. Like, he's going to have to work with the stuff that he has. But, man, that first inning is going to be critical, bro. Right? San Diego, man, these guys get going. You know, Tatis hits an early home run. That dugout is super energetic in San Diego. But with all that being stated, the Dodgers are in a pretty good place right now. The back end of the order is coming through, Scott, for them. That is very, very big. Will Smith broke out of his slump. And look at Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts was 0 for 22, bro. This guy's on fire right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that either. I'm scared to death of him. Let me ask you about Scooble tomorrow at 1 o'clock. They moved the game because of weather. It's going to be a day game now in Cleveland. Can Scooble beat the Guardians on the road?
You know, I've been zigging and zagging all through this series, Scott, and I've been wrong. You know, I've been wrong. I was on Detroit. I was on Cleveland. Detroit wins. I'm on Detroit. Cleveland wins. Scooble is nearly unbeatable, but to me, the best bet of the game is the under. I think it's going to be one of these games. You know, it's going to be scoreless in the seventh inning type of deal. Complete toss-up, but my gut tells me that Detroit advances, Scott. And that's just my gut feel. But for betting purposes, I look at this. I'm like, yeah, it's six, but I don't have a problem with it. I don't see where the runs are coming from. Bad weather, elimination game, Scooble on the hill. They're going to leave him in the game as long as freaking possible. You know, they're not going to be worried about, like, he's not pitching. He wouldn't pitch in game one anyways, or even game two. They'll worry about that after. So, yeah, big-time stuff for tomorrow. But, you know, Cleveland are always a day late and a dollar short. You want to talk about teams that are cursed, the Guardians / Indians. These guys haven't won a championship since 1948, right? So they've had a lot of bad breaks and bad beats over the years. Sets up nicely for your Yankees, though, everybody. I mean,
yeah.
If you told the New York Yankees, yeah, you got to beat the Kansas City Royals and or the Detroit Tigers and Guardians to get to the World Series, I think you take it. Look at what, like, the Dodgers have to go through here, battling with San. It's like Thunderdome, bro. You know, San Diego, and you got the Mets waiting after, and yeah. Yankees get the Royals. Unbelievable. But hey, that's baseball.
It is brutal. I am concerned about him facing him again. Like, so they've seen him go deep into the first game. Now he's going to try to go deep into a second game. That means he's going to see him for a, you know, fourth, fifth,
and he did get into some jam, Scott, in that last game, too. Huh? They got guys on base that last game against Scooble. He kept on getting out of it.
Yeah. I'm worried about him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so Morenci's with us. Three games tonight in college football, and then I want to get your reaction to you know, some of the games tomorrow that are just gigantic games, like the Ohio State Oregon game, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas, Oklahoma. What do you think tonight with the three games you got? Northwestern, Maryland laying 10.5, UNLV at Utah State, Rebels laying 19, and Utah is ranked 16th. They're laying 5.5 in Tempe against Arizona State.
I'm going to be attacking the overs tonight, Scott. I think these games are going to have points. People don't think about overs when you talk Northwestern football, but their defense isn't very good this year, right? They you can score 40 on them, I think, and Maryland's offense is good. I expect Maryland to get into the 30s tonight. I'm not sure the Terps should be laying 10.5 points in this football game against Northwestern. You know, the talent gap isn't that different, right? Like, Northwestern, we're losing to better football teams. They're a little bit more evenly matched, I think, with Maryland. But Maryland are better than they are. I just don't think they should be laying 10.5. So, actually, a slight lean with Northwestern. But I think the at plus 10.5. But I like the total a lot here, guys, at 45.5. Maryland will score. You know, I expect this game to get into the mid-50s. I think the total is too light here at 45.5. And similar situation here, Scott. I wouldn't, you know, you know how crazy this sounds. You know, you and I have been following UNLV football forever, and they haven't had football forever. So you want to lay 19 points with UNLV on the road? Is this what we're doing now with this team?
Yeah,
it's a lot of points to be laying, man. I get it. Utah State get lit up all the time. But Utah State just gave up 62 points to Boise. We saw UNLV hang 59 on Fresno, guys. UNLV are going to score. Like, they're going to get into the high 40s, into the 50s, but UNLV's defense can get scored on, too. So the same similar situation. I don't really like the point spread, but I love the over here, Scott, at 66.5 because, dude, the last three games, Utah State have given up 48 points a game. And like I said, UNLV can score. They didn't lose last week because they couldn't score against Syracuse, right? They just couldn't stop Syracuse. They could score. They hung 59 the week before. Yeah, yeah. Dude, the quarterback is better. The Sluka kid that left isn't as good as the guy to replace them with, right? The Williams can throw the football. Like, their offense is taking it to the next level now, UNLV. They're scary. So they're going to score. They probably cover because Utah State are bad. Utah State are normally a decent program, you know, mid-tier program type deal, but they've had a lot of turmoil at the university. You know, like, I think they fired the president, the coach got sued, blah, blah. Like, there's been a lot of, like,
right,
a lot of athletic behind off-the-field turmoil with the administration and the coaches. Remember they had that good coach and they threw him under the bus? I don't know what he did. He pissed someone off in at the school. And a lot of, like, behind-the-scenes stuff that wasn't on the field that's affected their on-field product now. So they're not the same team. So UNLV probably murder them, but I love you over 66.5. And I'll tell you, Scott, this Arizona State football team's flying under the radar, bro. They're 4-1 straight up, yet it's impressive. They beat Kansas. They beat Mississippi State. Their only loss of the year is Texas Tech. These guys are more than handling themselves in the Big 12. And it's similar to Colorado, just for the record. I like Colorado tomorrow, Scott, plus the points at home against Kansas State.
Right.
People are kind of surprised. Look how, like, look at Arizona. Look at Arizona State. Look at them beating these teams. Dude, the Pac-12 was better than the Big 12, Scott. Like, that's why Colorado, people are surprised. Colorado were in tough last year, playing USC and the Oregon Ducks and, like, the Washington Huskies.
Right.
It's not easy. Now, dude, you're playing UCF, bro. You're playing Kansas State. And listen, you took Oklahoma and Texas out of the Big 12. They were the Big 12. Come on, Iowa State, with all due respect, whatever, okay. You know what I mean? You're not Texas. You're not Oklahoma. So these teams right now, this is an old – I will say this, guys. Utah have murdered Arizona State over the years. They've beaten them four straight times, and they've beaten them by double digits every time. They've killed them. But with that being stated, I think this ASU team is live tonight, Scott. So give me Arizona State plus the 5.5 points tonight.
And what about Ohio State and Oregon and Ole Miss and LSU?
I like LSU. You and I both know nowhere tougher to play in college football than a Saturday night in Baton Rouge. Both coaches generally don't win big games between Kelly and Kiffin, so something's got to give. But I think LSU are going to be able to outscore Ole Miss in this game in a close, high-scoring football game. And listen, man, the Ohio State game, Ohio State are just so loaded. I'd like to see the Ducks beat them, but my gut feel is that Ohio State are going to get it done, Scott. Don't win big games.
I do too. All right, Morency, have a kick-ass weekend. Great stuff today, brother. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks, bro.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, San Francisco needed that win last night at Lumen Field, and now you got a tie in the NFC West, and they're back to 500 because they were 2-3, and they were coming off a blown game that they were up 23-10 at the half that they lost Arizona. So they really were desperate to get it done against the Seahawks.
They certainly were, and they do get it done in Seattle on Thursday Night Football to start week number 6, 36-24. Was the final. Game started pretty slow. In fact, it looked early like the Niners were going to kind of run away and hide. I mean, they had a 16-0 lead late in the first half. Seattle did come back in the third quarter. Niners got a couple of touchdowns from George Kittle. But how about the first touchdown of the night? We said Debo at 9-1. How about 76 yards from Brock Purdy? KNBR Niners radio for you with Papa.
Here's a pistol. They ride the mesh point to Mason. Brock at a throw out left. Wide open. Debo Samuel makes the catch. And now speeding down the sideline. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! San Francisco!
First touchdown receiving of the year for Debo.
There's nothing like Papa. I mean, honestly, on the sports leader.
Deebo Samuel, first receiving touchdown of the year, first 100-yard receiving game of the year. They did suffer some more injuries in this game. Of course, the Niners have had a few of them this season. Jordan Mason sprained a C joint, left the game, came back, left it again. He's going to get more tests done today. They're already down McCaffrey. But as we said when this guy Mason came in, like, this Cordano came in, the other kid, the third string back, and he ripped off a 75-yard run.
Mike Cordano.
Like at the end of the game. So I think a lot of the 49, and this is nothing against McCaffrey, I think a lot of the 49er running backs is very scheme-based. I think there's a lot of guys they could put back there and are going to do very well. You've seen it with Mason. You'll probably see it with this other kid if Mason misses time too.
Well, I mean, listen, obviously, you know, every time you play, guys get banged up in the NFL. It's pain day. So it is what it is. All I know is they got the dub and they're 3-3. A lot of people, you know, you've talked to me about how they're still favored to go win the NFC. They're still favored to go to the Super Bowl. All of this, and I don't think they've played that kind of football yet. I do not think they have looked like NFC champions at all. I think there are teams that are playing better than them clearly right now in the NFC. So I think they have their work cut out for them, to be honest with you, and I don't really care about their injuries. Everybody's got them.
Everybody does have them. Seahawks were 3-0 once upon a time. Now they are 3-3. Win 3 in a row. Lose 3 in a row. That's how it goes for Seattle.
Your team and my team are on the verge of that.
We both are lost this weekend away from starting 3-0 and then dropping to 3-3. So quite a few teams.
It's depressing.
It is kind of depressing. Hopefully we're both 4-2 by Tuesday morning. Hopefully that's the case.
I talked to a lawyer buddy of mine about, you know, the Steelers, and he was, I mean, I was ready to jump off a bridge by the time I was done talking to this guy. I was so depressed because, you know, they've blown. I think they blew both games. I mean, you're down big in, what were they, down 17 in Indy, and then they come back and you have the ball with 2.5 minutes to go and you can win the game. And then you fumble the ball and lose it, you know, 11 yards, and then you're finished. I thought, you know, they had the ball at the 40-yard line near midfield, and you fumble the ball back to the 30, you're finished. And then in the, you know, the Dallas game, he got him the lead. People talk about this guy should be replaced, and yet he just keeps playing decent and, you know, playing well. It's not like he's playing great, but he's playing well. He's not doing anything to hurt him, and they're anemic offense. He's not the problem. He's not the issue. And then you're up 17-13, and you lose the game with 20 seconds left on a fourth down play. I mean, they've blown both games. They could just as easily be 5-0. So with a game like the game that they have in front of them in Vegas against the Raiders and the game you have against the Jets, I mean, it could be a lot different than losing 2 in a row going into this game with the possibility of losing 3 in a row. I think you have more of a chance to lose than the Steelers do, to be honest with you.
I agree with that. I wish I was going to Vegas this weekend. I don't like, as I've said to you, I don't like playing a team that just fired their coach. I don't think that bodes very well for them. I don't like how many injuries the Bills have. I think there's a lot of things that are not in their column right now as we get ready for this weekend, week number 6, pain day in the NFL. Let's get through some of Sunday's games now. We'll start with what I think is maybe the best game of the day, right? You've got the Washington Commanders playing great football now with Jaden Daniels, and the Baltimore Ravens, who have now won 3 in a row, are now back in the mix. Of course, a lot of people are going to bill this as Lamar Jackson against Jaden Daniels. Here's Dan Quinn to tell you that's not how it works. They don't actually play on the field against each other. Thanks, Coach.
They're not playing against each other. Both of them are fantastic players and cause all sorts of problems for defensive coaches. But both of them would probably tell you they got to control what they can, you know, and how well they can play and going to do that. So I respect the storyline for you, but at the end of it, man, like, he's got to absolutely, you know, do his thing and play in the position. And that's what's really cool for us to see, the development at the position.
Well, it is Lamar against Daniels. It sure is. You know, the kid wants to beat Lamar, who he looks up to. And I think Lamar is cold-blooded. I just think he wants dubs. I don't think he cares who he steps on. I really don't. Like, he just wants to win games. You hear him all the time. Stats mean nothing to him. Trophies, awards, accolades. He's like, we're here to win games. That's it. I don't care what you say about me, write about me, do about me, this, that, all the rest. All the social media, the TV, the radio, talk shows. He just goes out and executes and tries to win games. And I think Daniels is getting a lot of quick fame, deservedly. And, you know, he's played 5 games in the NFL. So I think he's done terrific. And let's see if he can beat this guy. I think the Ravens are a better football team, all things being equal, than the Commanders. I think one team has a better record. And I think one team is actually better than they are. And that's the Ravens. I think with their running game, it's an added dimension, I think. And I don't deny that the Commanders can run the ball too, but I just think Henry's on a different level than all of them.
Henry and Lamar, both in the top 10 in the NFL in rushing right now. So two players there as we talk about stats for them. As of now, 6.5 for the Ravens here on Sunday. This is a 1 o'clock East kick. 51.5, a very healthy total. They're expecting a lot of points in this game.
Okay, well, that, you know, for me, it's too many points. It's too many points against a good quarterback. So a guy that can, you know, backdoor you, a guy that can come back, a guy that, in, you know, he's down, he's going to sling it. A guy that can obviously run it, a guy that can throw it deep. He connects with McLaren deep. I mean, he just continues to do it. So, and they can run it as well. They have all, like, I think yesterday we heard Kaplan tell us that Brian Robinson or whatever's injured. Is that about right? I think that was,
Yeah, but he's going to play. It sounds like he's going to be in there again.
I just think it's going to be a better game than 6.5. I really do.
Yeah, I think 6.5 is a little bit too heavy. I think it's a little bit too much. And I could absolutely see Washington cover. And I do think that Baltimore is going to win the game like you. And I actually kind of like the under. I don't think it's going to be a 35-31 game. I think the game actually is going to be, I think it's going to be a little tighter to the vest. We will come back and we'll get through a few more games, including debut for Drake May coming up on Sunday for New England against Houston.
I wouldn't mind 35-31. They'd cover then and it would go over.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So what I want to see, Carver High, obviously, is the Ravens lose. And I want to see the Browns lose and the Bengals lose and the Steelers win in Vegas. And that'll be the perfect day. That's my plan. That's the plan. That's the prayer. I'm lighting a candle for that. That's all I know.
I do that every week. I just sit around. Bills win, and then hopefully the Jets, Dolphins, and Patriots all lose. Always pretty much what you want every week when you go through this stuff. Speaking of the Patriots, they will start number 3 overall draft pick Drake May on Sunday. Jacoby Brissett has handled the first 5 games of the season. Now it is time for May to get in there and start his NFL career. He is, Scotty, very excited.
I think we'll go out there and just try to make some plays. I think the biggest thing I was telling some of those guys is, you know, probably be a little nerves at the beginning, but I think once we settle down, we got a chance to, you know, move the football and just have fun out there. Back to having fun going out there. I think this is what this game is about. Don't make it, you know, too big or the spotlight too big. And just go out there with those guys that we've been battling for, you know, 3 months since training camp.
Good luck with
that. Go out there and try to make some plays.
Yeah, that's not happening. He may poop his pants. How's that sound for a game plan? Here's the deal. He's going up against a good team. And he's never played in an NFL game. I mean, he played, a couple snaps? He played a few plays. It's just not enough of a work of art yet for me. These guys all start slow and struggle. I'm not feeling it. Here's why. I think that he's really talented, and I think he's really big and strong and fast. For a white boy, he's pretty fast. I'll give you this, but the team is so awful around him. They have no talent. They literally are like a, I mean, what a mess they are. They are a mess. Mayo won't admit it. No one will admit it, but they're terrible. They can't score. They can't stop anybody. They don't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. They don't win. I mean, they are staring down the barrel of a 4.5 in Vegas that you're on the under on, and that's exactly what you want to have happen, is that kid to have a crappy day and for them to lose and keep losing so you can cash that ticket. I don't think he's beating the Texans.
What a shame that they can't do any of those things anymore. What a shame. It really is. This actually is 6.5. 37.5 is the total. I like the under in this game. Under 37.5 for me.
Yeah, no. I think the Texans are going to score 37.
They're going to clean it by themselves. Texans get the over by themselves.
Literally, by themselves, right. They're going to cover the total.
It's possible.
I don't see how they stop Stroud and that team. Now, I know they don't have Nico. I they still have Diggs. I don't care. They still have Diggs,
of course. And they still have Tank Dell. They have, I think they
My
might
guy
be good.
Knows how to put it up. Your boy Stroud knows how to put it up, the numbers.
He certainly does.
He stacks touchdowns, passes, bombs. All they do is produce. They're a good football team. They had one bad day. Everyone has a bad day in the NFL, and they've had theirs. They've looked good since.
They have. The Eagles will be back in business this week.
Scroll
of course,
them.
They had their bye
Scroll
last
them.
Week. The Eagles are coming back off of their bye. They are going to get healthier with both A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith back in the lineup. Apparently, during the bye week, Scotty, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni had like a little meeting of the minds, a little sit-down, a little heart-to-heart to clear the air and be on the same page going forward. Jalen Hurts is very happy that they did that.
Well, we're the two leaders of the team, you know, and I'm happy and fortunate that, you know, we were able to come together in harmony and have the same goal in mind and trying to get this thing right. I got a ton of confidence in him, a ton of confidence in what he brings and everything he's been able to accomplish, and just continue to press on that, you know. Everybody goes through different moments. Everybody experiences adversity, but we've experienced different levels of adversity together, and we're excited for what's to come.
Yeah, whatever. Let me tell you, here's what's going to happen. They got A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith back, and they're going to beat the crap out of the Browns. The Browns, this is the highest spread in the NFL this week, and it's one that you have to, I think, absorb because Cleveland's awful. I mean, they are awful. They have not had a 300-yard game. Their quarterback has not had over a 200-yard game. It's embarrassing. They're anemic. It is so unbelievable. They might as well trade for Joe Flacco and bring him back, because at least they were good. They were a good football team. They were a playoff team. They were dangerous. And now they're flat-out terrible. And when Brown is in the games, they average 35 points. When he's not, they average 17. When Brown and Smith are both playing and they've had a bye and they are desperate for a win or the coach is going to get fired, I don't care what Hurts says about his kumbaya moment at Ralph's on the south side with his coach. I really don't. What I need to see, if, you know, frankly, I'm a better, is I need the Eagles to beat the snot out of the Browns by 16 or more. Forget 9.5. They got to win by 16 to 20 points. I mean it. There's got to be a couple games this week that are blowouts. Houston and this one.
It's 9.5. It's gone up from 8.5 earlier in the week, and it's 42.5. I'm with you here on this. I think this is the perfect storm for an absolute smash job on Sunday. You have the Eagles, who need it bad, coming off a bye, getting healthy against a Brown team that, let's just face it, they suck. And you're catching it at a time when they are playing bad football. They can't do anything offensively. They're going on the road. Drop the hammer here, Scotty. I'll lay the 9.5 with you in Philadelphia on Sunday. Let's go.
It's a drop guillotine the hammer. Game. Lock it's, them it's up a in the stockyard.
Drop the hammer.
In on them. Chop them off their heads. Let's go.
You got everybody coming up. Gino, Coach, Doc. After that, we'll do the rest of Sunday's games in hour number two.
I got to ask Gino if he hit the two games last week. I forget which games he played.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Every week we love to hook up with, it's me, Gino B, at the Daily Racing Forum, and he likes to start off by shopping, and then we'll get into the races, then we'll get into the NFL snags, and then we're also going to talk to him about his Dodgers, of course, because tonight it's all or nothing, Game 5 at the Ravine. All right, Gino, good to see you. First, where do they go to get all the skinny?
Yeah, let's get the important business stuff out of the way first. You want to head to drf.com/sportsgrid. And for all of you SportsGrid viewers out there, you use the promo code SGTF24. That'll get you a free Timeform US card. Those are the graphics that we're going to look at with some of our best bets. And let's start over at Keeneland. We'll go a couple at Keeneland, couple at Santa Anita. Keeneland, we're going to look at races 7 and 10. And in race number 7, that'll be our first one. You and I have been to the tavern a few times. I'm going to go to the Taverna right here in race number 7 with the number 4, who is 4-1 on the morning line. In this race, it looks like there's a lot of other horses with early speed. And as you can see with the projection, I think this horse is going to be sitting a little bit off the pace. I think we'll get a really nice trip. 4-1 on Taverna. That's the first of two. And then the one I probably like most of all weekend, Scotty, is in race 10 at Keeneland, the Brigade. This horse's debut was awesome. And then most recently went and run at a weird turf course at Kentucky Downs. A lot of horses don't really take to it. I think is going to get a great setup in here. So we've got a 4-1 shot and an 8-1 shot for you at Keeneland.
All right, let's go over to the mountain, Santa Anita. What do you got?
Well, I'm coming out of my cage, and I've been doing just fine. I got Mrs. Brightside in race number 7 at Santa Anita. There is not a lot of speed in here. This is a horse who's stretching out, and I think is going to go right to the front end and be on the lead in here. So we all know about Mr. Brightside. There's Miss Brightside at 10-1, going to go wire to wire. We'll catch you one more at Santa Anita. If you want to just go like a straight daily double, you can do that because we'll go from race 7 to race 8, the number 5, Schaffner. His debut looked exactly like a horse that was just getting a good race under their belt to stretch out and run longer. And he got a nice effort. He kind of showed some late energy. This barn is awesome with horses making their second start. They don't really even crank horses up all that much for their first start, but they really improve them once they've had a race. So a couple at Santa Anita, and we have some nice prices over there.
All right. You've been really hot in the NFL. You hit a wall last Sunday with a couple of teams that didn't get it done. Prior to that, you hit everything. So you're going back to the well. Who do you like on Sunday this time? Which game?
We'll know bright and early how we're sitting. We're going to go to London. And this week, I think one of the narratives is going to be the rookie quarterbacks. They've done a great job. Daniels and Caleb, I'm a USC guy. He's started to improve quite a bit coming off his best game. Bo Nix, he's been playing pretty well. I think we're going to see the regression a little bit with some of them because there's now more film out there. These guys that are veterans and these really good coaches are going to be able to scheme up. And going to London is just a little bit different. It's a different routine for a rookie, for a young guy. Jacksonville knows what to do over there. And one thing that they actually do pretty well, they can put some pressure on the quarterback. That's where the Bears struggle, blocking on that offensive line. So I think they beat up on a bad Panthers defense last week. I think the Jags will be able to play better. And honestly, if Jacksonville wins these two games in London, because they play back to back, they're kind of quietly 3-4 and like right back in the playoff picture. So it's a big couple weeks for them trying to save their season.
I mean, they blew that game against Indy like nothing I've ever seen, letting Flacco just go off on them. They were up 2 touchdowns late in the fourth quarter, and they still had to kick a field goal late to win it. I'm not impressed with that team at all. I think they're a mess. Let's talk about your Dodgers tonight.
Yep.
We've already talked about them at some length already on the show today. What do you think happens at the Ravine in Game 5?
Well, I'm excited that we came back with the big punch like we needed. And everything went perfect when you have to execute a bullpen game like the Dodgers did the other night. But what's nice is now all hands on deck. You went and paid Yamamoto for a spot just like this, right? That's why you gave him the big money. He needs to be a guy that can win you big games. And you have Flaherty, you can piggyback with him. Heck, if you need to bring in Buehler for an inning like a bullpen day, you're going to do that and use all the bullpen arms to match up. I love the fact that guys like Will Smith and Max Muncy got hits because they were really struggling. And the top of the lineup looked like we only had like two or three there. So some of the right guys got right in that game. And I'm really excited. I think it should be a fun one. And man, we've got some great playoff baseball coming up. Is this not the best time of the year right now? Baseball, college football, pro football, great horse racing all over. Love talking with you each and every week here, Scotty.
What worries you about the Padres real quick?
Oh, man, the lineup. You just got to keep Tatis and you got to keep Machado down. You don't want to let them get out early because then they're going to try to get up. They love the heels. They're heels. They love the booze. They get off of them.
All right, Gino. Have a great weekend.